Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Green Bay game is over. Now it's time to talk about what happened in the game. What went right? What went wrong? Who's to blame? It's time for the Green and Gold Postgame Show, presented by Lakeland University. Their commitment to education goes far beyond the classroom. Lakeland.edu. Your hosts for the show, Dan Plucker, and former Packers running back Gary Ellerson, on the Big Show Radio Network.
It's a final from Lambeau Field, and the Packers get a Christmas Day win over the Cleveland Browns, 24-22. But boy, lots of things to talk about in this game, and a little bit of a collapse from this Packers team in the second half. It's Dan Plucker and former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson with you here on the Green Gold Post Game Show, presented by Lakeland University. After the game, as the Packers beat the Browns 24-22. They move to now 12-3 on the season and take an even larger advantage for the time being, for at least one day, in the NFC with the number one seed. But it did not come in easy fashion against a team that had a lot of things going against them in the Cleveland Browns, Gary. And Baker Mayfield, first off, having COVID all week, having that left shoulder in a sling for the last several weeks, being injured pretty much the whole season. And coming back to this game, no practice, he was not at his best today, Gary.
Yeah, I guess you could say the Packers got a Christmas Day gift wrapped by the Cleveland Browns.
I think you can say that, yes.
That's what it felt like. I mean, but it was a weird game. You get four interceptions, five sacks, and what, only 24 points? That's
and weird. Only win by two.
Weird to me.
Very weird.
I mean, just those two numbers. Those two numbers, four interceptions and five sacks. Those two numbers for me, it was a weird game all the way around for the Packers, because you thought that they should have had more points. Now, a lot of people are going to lay this at the feet of the defense because they got gashed on the ground. We knew that coming in. That Nick Chubb, they're going to go double tight. They were going to run the football. We knew coming in that that was going to happen. And you got Kenny Clark back. You felt a little bit better about it. But still, they got gassed on the ground. You talked about Baker Mayfield. Wasn't that sharp throwing the football. We got away with a couple holding penalties that we shouldn't have got. We got away with an offside where clearly – the Cleveland Browns offensive line did not. I mean, with all that being said, we still only got 24 points. And to me, a lot of people are going to point at the defense and call it concerning, but I think if it's about the offense, if it's about Aaron Rodgers, I think some of this blame has to lay at the feet of Matt LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers, and his offense. You got too many turnovers and too many sacks to only get 24 points.
Right, and it's important to note, they did do enough to win this game. The Packers are now 12-3.
Yeah, but we're not trying to win games.
They lost this game.
We're done winning games. We've been winning games for the last, how long LaFleur been here? 3 years?
3 years.
2 years? We've been winning games. We're done winning games. You know what it's about? Super Bowl.
It's about winning a Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. And so when you come in, that's what you end up talking about right now is you're trying to think if you can not necessarily win the Super Bowl, but you're trying to think if you even get to the Super Bowl. I think that's what most Packer fans are looking right now. So it's not like really being critical of the game. I think Packer fans are looking past a game. I think they're looking, do we have enough to get or win the Super Bowl? And by looking at this game, Packer fans are saying they don't, so that makes them a little uneasy because they should have blown this team out.
Well, here's what I know.
What you know?
I know that the Browns had more people playing today than they had originally thought. Baker Mayfield, literally, we learned, I think it was yesterday, that he was going to be the starting quarterback in this game. Myles Garrett was a game-time decision. He played most of the game. Nick Chubb, who we knew was going to play, was a stud, and they played one of the best offensive lines in football this week against a Cleveland Browns team that has not been healthy all season, and somehow, some way, they were rather healthy in this football game. You got a pretty close to full-fledged Cleveland Browns team, not necessarily 100%, and we were talking about this Cleveland Browns team before the season as one of the best in the AFC. The only reason why that has changed is because of the injuries that they have been suffering all season long. So from that standpoint, yes, they're 7-8. They're sub-500 team after the Packers win 24-22 over the Browns today. It's Dan Plucker, Gary Ellerson hanging out with you on the Green Gold postgame show. But this Browns team is a good football team. And dare I say it, when they're healthy, they could be a great playoff, or a great football team and a playoff team at that as well. And the Packers got the full fledge of that in this football game. And I think that is being entirely overlooked throughout the portion of this game. Now, should the Packers have won this game more handily? Absolutely. Scoring 3 points in the second half is a disgrace with how efficient you are moving the football down the field in the first half and how often the connection between Rodgers and Devontae was hitting in the first half. 8 receptions, 88 yards for Devontae in the first half. He had 2 catches in the second half. That something happened there, whatever it was, because it was single coverage in the first half, I think, between or over Devontae. The second half, that changed a little bit. A couple different looks from the Cleveland Browns, and Rodgers could not adjust. And Devontae had some costly drops late in this game that hurt this team. And I'm just surprised how little the Packers focused on moving the ball on the ground late in games. This is not the first time this has happened. This is now several weeks in a row.
Now you're starting to come over to what I was just saying
earlier. It's a trend.
Now I hear you. See, and now I should say, but they won the game. No, that it's not about winning games anymore. It's really about what you're talking about right now. What is, yeah, they won the game, but it ain't about the game. It's now about Super Bowl. And those things which you just talked about just now is concerning.
Concerning, yes.
If you're trying to get to the Super Bowl.
But clearly it's not devastating is what I'm saying. It could be.
It could be.
But right now it's not.
Because right now, and we'll see what happens, how this all this stuff shakes out, the Cowboys are sitting right there. If we lose, I think they get the tiebreaker. They become the team that's in first place to get home field advantage. So we're just really one loss away from losing home field advantage, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
One loss away.
You're not wrong.
That's where we're at.
I'm pretty sure you are correct in that assessment, Gary. And now, I mean, this is 4 weeks, I guess 3 out of the last 4 weeks, or I'll even say 4 weeks, that the Packers have not closed well in football games. And we've talked on this show, on the big show in the past, about the Packers not playing well at the start of games. But I think equally, especially as of late, they have not been closing games well whatsoever. Right. I mean, this game nearly collapsing against the Browns the week prior, against the Ravens, the same thing almost happened, a 2-point conversion away from losing. Against the Bears, they got that onside kick and started moving things a little bit more. Now it's still 2 touchdowns, and yeah, but they didn't close strong. And then against the Rams, the same thing. Stafford was kept them in that conversation in that game as well, in a game that looked like the Packers were going to run away with it. Something has to change where they start games better and they also end games a lot better, Gary Ellerson.
Agreed. They have the perfect 4-minute running back in A.J. Dillon and didn't get that done.
He had 9 carries today. I can't understand that.
Didn't get it done.
When we're talking about a guy that is...
Which means you got 4 extra possessions because you got 4 interceptions.
Yeah.
Think about that.
And
you got 9 carries.
The Packers didn't turn the ball over. 21 carries between Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon combined in this football game.
And Rodgers didn't throw for big numbers. He didn't throw for 200
yards. 200 yards. Yardage-wise, I think the Browns might have actually had more yards than the Packers in this game.
What about time possession? They might have had more.
Yes, the Browns actually had almost 100 more yards than the Packers in this game. Time of possession split right down the middle, 31 minutes, almost 32 for the Browns, 28 for the Packers. Okay. I don't know. This game doesn't make any sense. The Packers won.
Yeah, it's a weird game.
It was a weird game from start to finish, and we're talking about it with you. It's Dan Plucker, Gary Ellerson on the Green Gold Post Game Show presented by Lakeland University on the Big Show Radio Network. You can dial us up at 855-830-8648. Steve in Germantown did just that, and he's first on the Big Show Radio Network today. Steve, give us your thoughts on the game. Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Doing well.
Good, man. Gary, you said it, and Plucky, you said it too. What a weird game. Seriously, this game, it doesn't make any sense. They have 4 turnovers, 5 sacks, 24 points. That math does not even add up. Here's my takeaway, though. This team is 12-3, correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They've shown in those 12 wins that they can win in a variety of ways. That's what championship teams are built on. They can win by blowing teams out. They can win the close games. They can win the last second field goals. They can win by defense. They can win by offense. Special teams, you know what? They showed up today. I wouldn't conclude them in a win, but they still showed up and provided some positives to the game.
No doubt,
Steve. At this particular stage in the season, a championship team is built on how you can win in a variety of situations. In the playoffs, weather, atmosphere, just in general injuries, COVID situations will play a factor in those games. We don't know what's going to happen in January, February. The fact that this team can win with running backs, with Rodgers, with defense, I'm optimistic. They're 12-3, guys. We have to take that into account. That's a huge stat. The win-loss is how you base a team off of. The best team in the NFL right now.
Steve.
All facets.
Thanks.
Thanks
for the call. Merry Christmas. And he makes a good point. I mean, not only have they done all those things that he was just listing off in this game, but this offensive line still finding a way to keep Aaron Rodgers upright despite all of the injuries. And at one point, even Yash Nyman going down with an injury as well. And did they even allow a sack today? I don't know if they did.
I don't think they did.
I don't think they did either.
That's the other thing about it. I don't even know if they allowed. Yeah, they did not allow sack. I know they did not.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
They're missing just 4 of their starting offensive linemen.
And you still only scored 24 points.
They only scored 24 points, yes. But how many teams in the NFL could be 12-3 with 4 of their 5 offensive linemen from the beginning of the year?
We've been doing it all year long. I mean, I get that. I understand the injuries and we have. I mean, I get that. I mean, I totally understand that. We see it every day. We live in it. But it's going to get tougher as you get into the playoffs. Teams are going to get tougher. So you have to ask yourself, I don't know, can you go beat the Rams like playing like that? Can you go beat the Cowboys playing like that, I guess? You've already beat the Cardinals playing like that. You play better against the Cardinals down there because you're efficient, but you didn't have a lot of players.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just put it this way. They're not playing the football that they were playing earlier in the year.
I think that's safe to say.
They're not, and most certainly defensively, they're not playing how they were early because on this last, now this week they already gave up 22 points, but they were giving up almost 30 points a game here over the last 4 weeks. So now we dropped to 22, but still, they just got run on up and down the field. Mm-hmm. Where it felt like Cleveland was dominating and controlling the game.
Well, and I'm wondering how different this game would be if Stefanski, from the beginning, from the get-go, decided to ride Nick Chubb, because he really didn't start giving him the ball every single play until the second half. The first half, Nick Chubb was nearly non-existent from this offense, even though he was having big plays left and right. Mm-hmm. He wasn't the guy. They were focusing on Baker and throwing the ball, and that's why Baker had 3 picks and in reality, like you said, Gary, gifted the Packers this win. Because without those 4 interceptions, mm-hmm. I don't know what this game looks like. The Packers scored touchdowns in the first half off those 3 interceptions, mm-hmm. and then a pick to seal it.
Mm-hmm.
those four interceptions were 100% the difference maker in this game for the Green Bay Packers. And credit to the Packers defense because, I mean, they were terrible in the run game and they were miscommunicating all day long in the secondary, but they still did enough and came away with four interceptions. Never a bad night when you can do that as well. It's Dan Plucker, Gary Ellerson hanging out with you on the Green and Gold postgame show after the Packers win 24-22 on Christmas Day. When we come back, we'll get to Duke, Tim, Ty, and Brian. You're all next here on the Big Show Radio Network as the Green and Gold postgame show chugs on.
Converted on seven of their last nine third downs, and this one's picked, intercepted, as Douglas has got his second of the game.
Rasul Douglas seals the deal for the Green Bay Packers as they win 24-22 on Christmas Day. It's Dan Plucker, Gary Ellerson hanging out with you on the Green Gold postgame show presented by Lakeland University. Let's get it right out to the phones here at 855-830-8648 and talk to Duke. Duke, you're on the Big Show Radio Network. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you guys, too. And hey, where would we be without number 29, Rasul?
Oh, I don't even know. It's
unbelievable.
All of his picks have been unbelievable.
Right. Now, the last 2 weeks, and really all year, you know, the last guy talked about blowing teams out. We don't blow anybody out because, you know, today we should have blown them out.
Correct.
I don't know what happened in the second half last week, and I don't know what happened in the second half this week. But we had the ball midway through the fourth quarter, and Jones had a 7.5-yard gain on first down. Second and two. Where's Dylan? It's second and two. Where's Dylan? Nope. Jones, two more carries in a row, and you don't get the first down. Where's Dylan? Everybody talks about, and LaFleur talks about, he's got the two-headed monster. Where is he? That's his down. Second and two. That's his down. I don't care how good
Jones is doing
in the game.
Yeah.
When it's second and two,
agreed,
it's Dylan's down.
Agreed.
Now, and one more point, Gary.
Agreed.
They took out, or whatever reason, Nyman had to come out of the game for a play.
Right.
You ran right over Braden on the next play, and it went nowhere. What are you doing? Do you even know who's out there? Do you even know who you're trying to run over? You're trying to run the play over a tackle who's his first play of the year? I mean, this was coaching. There's no way you should be held last week or this week to 3 points in the second half. Do you even know who's out on the field?
I think that they do, but here's the issue here. These guys get hung up in series, like, you know, Aaron Jones, this is my series. I'm going to run this set of down. This is my series. You got the next series. Second and two, I'm with you. I don't care if it's Aaron Jones series or not. Aaron Jones, you're coming out second and two. A.J. Dillon's getting the ball. Now, A.J. Dillon gets the first down. Now, A.J. Dillon comes back out. I put Aaron Jones back in. These guys get caught up in series. I think it's more about down and distance than that.
Well, it's pretty basic, isn't it? I don't know how
to me,
you
it
can
should be.
Neglect that.
Yeah. Exactly.
I can't understand it. These are NFL coaches. And, Gary, you and I both coached at Brookfield East. That's all we know.
That's all we know.
Duke, thanks.
The wing T at Brookfield East, Duke.
Thanks for the call, Duke. And it's not just in those short distances, midfield or wherever. Also, I mean, we've talked about it before, in the red zone, too.
Yes.
Again today,
just
I don't think A.J. Dillon got a red zone touch today.
Just simple.
And it's things that are a little bit mind-numbing and becoming this trend, like you were saying, Gary, of things that you look at and you're just like, why not? Like, what is the reason that this is not happening? And that's a puzzling thing for a lot of people. Let's go out to Tim and Reseed on the Big Show Radio Network as the Packers win 24-22. Tim, Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you guys. What's up, Dan and Gary?
What's up, Timmy?
This is Brett Favre.
What's up, Brett Favre?
Yeah, you know how Brett Favre spells he doesn't do the R-E-A-L-X.
How's he do it, Timmy?
He goes S-S-H-H-H.
Pronounce it, Timmy.
No. Anyways, you guys are talking about the the way I looked at it, it was like the Wild Cherry. You ever hear Wild Cherry play that funky music?
Yes.
Yeah, that was kind of the kind of game, right?
Yep.
But anyways, the way I kind of looked at it was, okay, you have three interceptions, and they capitalize on all three, right? So in their time, in Cleveland's time, when they're controlling the ball, we get the ball. So it's like there wasn't even many punts this game.
Right.
That's why it was so kind of weird.
Right.
No doubt.
You know, I mean, but... No, yeah. Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was going to... Here, you go ahead. It's all good.
Finish it up, Tim.
Yeah, it just seemed like... I don't know. Douglas, he's been like a godsend because I don't know where we'd be. Because it was like they were running down the Whitewater Rapids, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
You know, on a raft, and we were trying to tackle that guy. We couldn't tackle Nick Chubb to save us.
No, we could.
All right, Tim. Thanks
for
the call.
All right,
there was Tim and Racine. And he brings up Rasul Douglas's picks. Think about it. Pick sixes, game-changing plays, their
all
interception
year.
Against
since we got
the
it.
Cardinals to end it.
That's when it started.
The interception today at half to give the Packers a score, to give them the lead going into halftime, or a larger advantage, I should say. And then the game-winning pick today.
Mm-hmm.
Those are five crucial interceptions from a dude that was on a practice squad. Just unbelievable, right. The addition Rasul Douglas has been. Let's go get one more call in before we got to hit a quick break. Ty in Philly, you're on the Big Show Radio Network. Ty, give us your thoughts on the game. Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas, guys. Merry Christmas.
What you got?
Listen, man, it's a blessing to be able to, to get everybody away from you on Christmas night and watch the Packers at Lambeau Field, man. Mm-hmm. Throwing your Aaron Rodgers jersey, you know, so that was great. But the showing that this team had today just was not good. I think a lot of it, as far as the offense goes, was probably on the play calling. The defense, they just got gashed today. They had a bad day. The turnovers and the sacks, you know, you can have those. But outside of those, the Browns did what they wanted to do. They came out. They played a good game. It's just the turnovers. You play against any of those quarterbacks in the playoffs in the NFC, whether it's a Stafford, Prescott, definitely a Brady, any of those quarterbacks and a showing like that, from a team aspect, you will get beat. So I would say I hope that the Packers is getting this type of outing out their system going into the playoffs. But, you know, on top of that, 12-3, we're the best team in the NFL. And I guess we'll see how this thing go going forward.
Ty, thanks for the call.
And
maybe the best team in the NFL, but they didn't necessarily look like it tonight as the Packers win 24-22. Over the Cleveland Browns. And that's what the frustrating part of this is that we see moments where this team is just clicking on all cylinders and both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe not special teams, but special teams, no issues today.
Today, okay.
No, today, passing grade.
Nice field goal by Mason Crosby right down the middle.
Yep, exactly.
Made all his extra points.
No fielding issues, no punting issues. Today was maybe the best special teams performance of the year, so we'll give the Packers credit there. But it is frustrating, like I said, because we've seen this team clicking on all cylinders, and when they're not, it's somewhat apparent, and it's frustrating, especially in games like this where you do get the turnovers and you should really pull away in this game with Baker Mayfield missing time and a defense with the Browns that has some injuries across the board, Myles Garrett being out, pretty much not practicing all week. All of these different things do add up, and so that's why it's a little bit surprising that this game was not a blowout in terms of, you just look at what happened in this game. Aaron Rodgers given plenty of opportunities and he played well, 24 of 34, 202 yards and three touchdowns, but he wasn't MVP Aaron Rodgers today. And I think a lot of people against this Cleveland Browns team expected an MVP Aaron Rodgers situation.
Well, you were the game Christmas Day. You were looking for that. Now he did get the record. So,
he did.
Probably
we'll talk about that in the next hour of the show, too.
That, yep. But maybe you were looking for Rodgers to distance himself maybe from Tom Brady in this game.
And I don't know if he did that today.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
And the last couple of weeks, he's been unbelievable. Yeah. And he had a strong performance today.
Yeah.
And he's a part of the reason why they won
What was his passer rating today? Can you find it up?
Let me look. Yeah. But he was 24 of 34. Rating of 115.1.
Yeah, I think he was like last week was 140 or something
right.
stupid. Like
it wasn't. It wasn't MVP Aaron Rodgers' performance. We've been seeing MVP Aaron Rodgers' performances, and especially in the second half, Aaron Rodgers was not great. We'll get into more of that, but he did break the record, and Brett Favre had his comments as well. We'll hear all of that and more from 12 and Green Bay next here on the Green Gold Post Game Show. It's Dan Plucker, Gary Ellerson hanging out with you on Christmas. We'll get to some more of your calls and hear from Matt LaFleur coming up next here on the Big Show Radio Network.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Who scored first? Was it a big play? It's time for the Schulze Family Beef first score of the game. Schulze Family Beef. Treat your grill to quality Wisconsin pasture-raised beef from their family farm. Just go to SchulzeFamilyBeef.com. You're listening to the Green and Gold Postgame Show, presented by Lakeland University on the Big Show Radio Network.
Third and five, pass is caught. Lazard! Touchdown! There it is! History for Aaron Rodgers on Christmas Day at Lambeau. Career touchdown pass number 443.
There it was. Aaron Rodgers becoming the highest scoring passing touchdown player in the history of the Green Bay Packers. On that play, a pass to Alan Lazard, the first score of the game for the Green Bay Packers today as they win 24-22. Over the Cleveland Browns. It's Dan Plucker, Gary Ellerson, hanging out with you on the Green Gold Post Game Show, presented by Lakeland University on the Big Show Radio Network. And Gary, Rodgers, not quite there last week, but this week I think we all saw it coming with him breaking the record. Your thoughts on him surpassing Brett Favre in that avenue?
Well, I thought it was going to be Davante Adams. I thought he'd be the one to get that ball because the pass that Lazard caught, I mean, just was a tremendous effort. Mm-hmm. By him to get into the end zone. So, I mean, longevity, right, gets the record. But plus, Rodgers is just that good. I mean, he's just been dynamite. I mean, you think about, you know, him, Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings. I mean, he's had, I think, a lot of good receivers. I think if you go back and look at it, I'd ask Leroy about this, but his group of receivers, the receivers that he had, may have been better than what Brett Favre had played with.
I think there could be an argument that would be made there.
If you look at Jennings, Jordy Nelson, now Davante Adams, all three of those guys are platinum receivers.
I think offensive linemen could maybe be in that conversation too. Rodgers has probably had a better offensive line.
That I don't know because their offensive line was pretty good. They had some really good offensive line with Brett Favre. They really did. And they had some good running backs too. So that
Packers have had some good running backs.
But receivers,
too.
But receivers,
specifically,
sure.
Right.
Specifically, I think Rodgers may have had better receivers. Maybe she probably should do that on the Big Show one.
Yeah, well, right. I think we'll have to. Who had the most talent around them, Rodgers or Favre in their Packers career?
Write
yeah, that's
down.
A. I think that's. A, I'll write it down.
Write
we'll do it
down.
Sometime this week. No doubt. This is
there
the way that this works with me hosting the show. It's Dan Plucker, Gary Ellerson here with you on the Green Gold Post Game Show. Let's go out to Brian in New Jersey who dialed us up at 855-830-8648 on the Van Horn Direct toll-free talk line. Let's talk to Brian in New Jersey. Merry Christmas, Brian.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Gary. Merry Christmas. Hope everybody's doing well there.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
How you doing?
Really happy about the team and where we're at. I think they got it all in front of them. But I had kind of a two-part question for you. I just wanted to get your opinion.
Yeah.
For the defense, I know they gave up a lot of rushing yards today. Say like a little over 200. But what did you guys think? Is that something where they'll be able to make some adjustments as we get further down the line into the playoffs and whatnot?
Yeah, I don't know because they have been playing this soft zone coverage, thanks to your phone call, all year long. And now all of a sudden it seems like it's catching up with them. I don't know how to get better. I mean, from a run defense standpoint, they got to get better there. Devondre Campbell may have fallen off a little bit. I don't know. I may have to look at the tape and really find out what's going on. Up front, it still felt like Kenny Clark made some plays. Lowry made some plays. We'll probably have to take a look at it a little deeper, but it's still that they got crushed, though, on the ground. They just did. They've got to make more plays. Because I think if you look at the NFL, though, the NFL is really about throwing the football.
Mm-hmm.
How many teams are going to be patient enough to run the football like Cleveland?
And
that's
let's call a spade, too. Nick Chubb is one of, what, the top five running backs in football?
And
this
offensive line
is one of the top five in the National Football League.
Well, the way they do it, the run scheme, they come with double tights, and you know that's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And when Chubb is hot and he has a hot hand like he did today, he was finding a lot of holes that his offensive line was giving him. And, yes, the Packers' defense were kind of getting eaten up and eaten alive all day long, but not every team can do what the Cleveland Browns did today against the Packers and have that kind of success. I truly believe it's scary when it happens to you this week and last week as well, I think is why people are maybe trying to make this a trend with the Baltimore Ravens doing what they did last week too. But at the same time, it's two teams that do things differently than most of the NFL, like you were saying, Gary. And that's why I think the Packers defense is set up better for playing those teams that usually are at the end of the road here. We're talking the Chiefs, their passing offense, Tom Brady and the Bucs, their passing offense. Even the Cowboys, they are not focusing on Zeke and Pollard as much. It's more Dak and all of
they
his receivers.
Yeah.
So and Mike McCarthy's
Everybody
offense,
is.
We all know it.
Yeah.
So the Packers, while maybe they're not as well suited to play teams like Cleveland and Baltimore, they still won the last 2 weeks with maybe a defense that's not set up to be successful against
teams
like that.
In this game, though, what's concerning would be your offense. Just say the defense is a defense.
Correct.
You got to score more points then.
You have to. I agree.
With this defense, let's just say as bad as it is, gave you 4 turnovers.
Mm-hmm. And 5 sacks.
Were they 5 sacks too, but they gave you 4 turnovers, which means that you got 4 extra possessions and you only got 24 points.
The offense has to be better.
They got to be better as well.
No doubt. Let's go out to Nate in North Milwaukee at 855-830-8648. Nate, give us your thoughts on the game and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you guys, too. I hope you enjoyed your little time off.
Yeah absolutely.
But most importantly, I'm a Matt LaFleur guy. I love this guy. But today, that play calling in the fourth quarter was terrible. I can understand wanting to run the clock down, but you don't run the ball 3 times. And then just like one of the callers said earlier, you don't run the ball at a 4th string left tackle if you do decide to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the type of errors that could cost you, because if Baker Mayfield doesn't throw that interception, it's not like it's 3 points to tie the game or something like that. That 3 points could have won the game.
Mm-hmm.
So just from that, I'm not saying that I love Matt LaFleur, but that play calling right there is just what caught my eye. And then also, I can understand the defense respecting wide receivers, but 10 yards off the ball, like, it seems like it's 10 yards and 8 yards off the ball. It's just, like, you're going to get eaten alive that way. I can understand on your big yardage situations, but on third and sixes, being 6 and 8 yards off the line and not jamming these wide receivers like Jarvis Landry, he's just going to eat you alive. You don't even have to be a good wide receiver to be able to create separation off of that. You know what I mean? So it's just little things that we have to clean up. But overall, I'm glad we got the win. And Rasul Douglas, MVP for me.
Mm. Nate, I don't know. Okay. I don't know if you can argue that. Two picks on the game.
Yeah. Well, for that game, yes.
For this game, he's the MVP.
I give you that.
Yeah.
Okay, for that game.
I think
for
so.
For the whole year, but yeah.
We'll name those later on in the show. Nick, okay. In West Milwaukee, you're now on the Big Show Radio Network, the Green and Gold Post Game Show. Merry Christmas, Nick.
Hey, Merry Christmas, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate you guys being on, man. So, I got kind of like a two-part statement here, man.
Come on, Nick.
Gary, you know, man, when you play football two different ways, you either play to win, or you plan not to lose. I feel like the last couple weeks, man, when it gets to the fourth quarter, I feel like the Packers are playing not to lose.
And
not a lot of good comes behind that. And no. I feel like Mike McCarthy used to do that a lot, too. He used to play not to lose when we would have a small lead, a one-possession lead, plan not to lose, man. And that's not going to get us too far in the playoffs, man. They got to clean that up.
I got to
clean that up. Mm-hmm. And in terms of this rushing defense, I see them overcommitting a lot. You know what I'm saying? They overcommit a lot. These linebackers, I feel like they need to contain. A lot of these big rushers are coming from the outside. You know what
they
I'm saying? This defense, they need to stay on their assignments. I mean, you've seen it on that touchdown catch. Mm-hmm. I think it was that Darnell Savage? He was pointing to Stokes, pointing to his eyes, telling him, you know, keep your eyes on your assignment. And I think if they clean that stuff up, man, you know, they'll be good. But they got to keep their foot on the pedal and stop playing not to lose. And they got to play these games to win, man.
That sounds good, Nick. I'm with that. Thank you, bro.
Yeah, me too, Nick. Thanks for the call. And
being conservative, I mean, you may be right. You know, throttling it down. I mean, there may be something to that. I mean, I don't know, because I know, and here's what ends up happening. I don't know. A lot of people, when it doesn't go right, they blame Matt LaFleur. But it feels like there's a 50-50 partnership with Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers calling plays.
And I think when Matt LaFleur talks so much about the communication, communicating, I mean, how many times have we heard him say that in his tenure? I think that's where it comes from, making sure that everybody's on the same page so that we don't have situations like this where – I mean, the Packers take a 2-possession lead, and then 3-and-out, 3-and-out, 5-and-out. That was the third and fourth quarter for the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
A total of 11 plays for maybe 25 yards before
and
the end of the game.
It. That's not going to get it. Right.
Correct. You cannot do that against teams on a Super Bowl run and expect to make it there and win the thing. You can't. You have to have more offense than that. And I think you're right, Gary. It's a combination of Matt LaFleur's play calling and maybe Aaron Rodgers changing things up at the line of scrimmage, because there are different situations. Like, Rodgers is not going to think that an end around is a good idea, which is what and it got absolutely blown up,
right,
which put them way behind the sticks that one drive. But at the same time, with the game on the line, 2-minute warning looming, the Packers throw consecutive passes before they run the clock all the way down.
Right?
What was that?
What was that?
I think that's Matt LaFleur's side of things. Like, Aaron, what's going on?
Right.
Like, and Devontae has to come down with that football. And if he does, we're talking a different story. We're talking a completely different game. The Browns probably don't even get another chance at a potential game-winning drive. Mm-hmm. But it's small things like that. When Matt LaFleur brings up the communication side of things, I think that is exactly what he's talking about. We have to hit a quick break. It's Dan Plucker, Gary Ellerson here with you on the Green and Gold Post Game Show presented by Lakeland University. When we come back, we'll get to some more of your calls. We'll hear from Devontae Adams, and we'll name our MVPs of this game, all coming up next here on the Green and Gold Post Game Show.
The Green Bay game is over. What was the scoring drive of the game? It's time for the drive of the game brought to you by ABC Audio Video. Home entertainment and smart home technology simply done right. Check them out at abcaudiovideo.com. You're listening to the Green and Gold Postgame Show, presented by Lakeland University on the Big Show Radio Network.
Mayfield throws, and he's picked for the third time, Rasul Douglas. And that is three straight home games with an interception for Rasul Douglas. Here he is, pitch and catch, touchdown Packers.
There it was, as the Packers took a little bit of an advantage heading into the halftime break, which wound up being extremely important. Dan Plucker, Gary Ellerson with you here on the Green Gold Postgame Show on the Big Show Radio Network, talking with you about the Packers' 24-22 win over the Cleveland Browns on Christmas Day. A nice Christmas present to all of the Packer fans out there listening to us on the show. And yeah, right there, you heard it. Rasul Douglas, his fourth interception on the season, and almost consecutive home games as well, where he's just been absolutely lights out. And then the Packers take over with just a couple minutes left in the half, drive all the way down the field. A couple nice catches by Devontae, takes him inside the 5 yard line, or inside the 15 into the red zone. And then all passes in the red zone for the Packers. Hits Aaron Jones for a couple yards. Devontae picks up another 10. They're at the 1 yard line. Mercedes Lewis almost gets a touchdown, and they've been fighting for him to get a touchdown for what feels like weeks. And then, as you heard there, Devontae Adams capped off the drive with the 1 yard touchdown, his second of the day, and a good performance from him. 10 receptions, 114 yards, and 2 touchdowns in this game. And breaking records himself. Most 100-yard games by a Packer receiver he broke in this game. And also Rodgers and Devontae, that combo became the best duo, most touchdowns, I should say, 66 between the two of them now in Packers history. 67, I think, with the second one in this game. So 67 touchdowns between the two, the most in Packers history. And Devontae, clearly probably the best receiver in football, right, Gary?
Today is, yes. Right now, yes. Number one.
I don't know if you can really debate that. Hopkins hurt. I mean, yeah. Cooper Kupp is having a great season. But
I mean, you know, a long time ago it was Julio. Well, not a long time ago. Well, not too long ago it was Julio Jones.
Michael Thomas in that conversation, yeah, too.
But Devontae was all like right in that top five, and it just seemed like those guys are kind of faded, and it's really about Devontae Adams right now.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Of course, Cooper Kupp is making a you know, if you want to throw his name in there, too. Mm-hmm. Cooper Kupp has an opportunity to get 2,000 yards. I think there's no receiver in NFL history
has ever
gotten 2,000 yards.
Calvin Johnson's the closest, 1950, yes. Yeah. Something around there. 855-830-8648 to join me, Dan Plucker, him, Gary Ellerson, on the Green Gold Postgame Show. Chris and Nina did just that, and now he's on the Green Gold Postgame Show. Chris, give us your thoughts, and Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you guys. 1 point, 2 questions. First point is, I was going to talk about Devontae Adams, and yeah, maybe he's the greatest, but you know, and other callers have complained about the play calling, but you know, they had the dagger dialed up, and Devontae, I can't remember the last, I mean, I've seen Devontae have drops, but not like in a clutch situation like this. But so that's my point. My two questions. The first one is, would you rather see Jonathan Taylor or Aaron Rodgers win the MVP?
Good question. Write that one down, Pluck. There's another.
All right. I'll throw it down on the list.
Jonathan Taylor or Aaron Rodgers. Who do you want to win the MVP?
Okay.
That's a good one. I like that.
I'm a big Wisconsin fan. Yeah. Of course, I'm a Packer fan. And then second question is a multiple choice, A, B, C, and D. Next year, do we sign A-Rod or Devontae or both or neither?
Okay. Pluck, write that one down. He's doing a show for us right now, Pluck. Chris and Nina.
My producer.
Yeah, he's doing our show for us right now. To answer your first one, maybe Jonathan Taylor, I would probably prefer to win it. And I'm just a Packer fan, I'm hoping that Rodgers get to the Super Bowl and he wins the MVP there.
I like that.
Now, to your second group of questions, I think if the Packers go to the Super Bowl, Rodgers is coming back. I don't know how he leaves after that. And right now they're the odds on they're the odds on favorite to get to the Super Bowl. Not even winning the Super Bowl. If they get to the Super Bowl, I think he comes back.
That, you think that's all it takes?
Yeah, I think he does.
Okay. Well, I think they got to do everything in their power to keep both of these guys. Yeah. Rodgers right in that MVP conversation again this year after winning it last year, and Devontae, the top two, not two wide receiver in the NFL right now. You have to do everything in your power to bring both these guys back.
Yeah.
Yeah, my personal opinion, I think they're either going to get both of them or they're going to get neither one of them.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. There's a lot of money that they're going to have to move around and try to figure these things out. Mm-hmm. Rodgers is going to have to take an extension. I think if he takes an extension, they may have enough money to get who they need to bring back here. Thanks for your phone call. Appreciate it.
There he was, Chris and Nina. And one more call here. Let's go out to Gerard in Delaware. He now is on the Big Show Radio Network with Dan Plucker, Gary Ellerson. Gerard, give us your thoughts on the game. Merry Christmas, dude.
Merry Christmas to you. Here's the two things. Rodgers did say, when he was interviewed after the game, they did go conservative in later in the game. Now, and my other point is this. If when you watch the game again, notice where they lined up Campbell. Many times they had him on the line, and he didn't back out. So what they did, Cleveland, on that one run by Chubb for 30 yards, he was on the other side, Campbell. The only two plays in the second half that he was not on the line is when he broke up the screen pass and one other play. But every time they lined up Campbell, believe it or not, on the line, Cleveland ran the other way. I thought it was not that intelligent to do that. I don't know why they were doing that. But if you're lining up on the line on one side, how do you get to the other side before the running back does?
Correct.
You
yep.
see what I mean?
Yeah, it's tough.
It didn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. It didn't make any sense. And I'm going, why are they doing that? Why are they doing that? And you'll have, you know, I don't know if you guys noticed that, but when you watch the game again, you'll see it. It's plain as day.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks for the call, Jared.
Yeah, go
Merry
back
Christmas.
And watch the game.
I'll have to see that, too. I did not notice that throughout the course of the game. But whatever the Packers were trying to do to slow down Nick Chubb in this game was not working. He was averaging, I believe, by the end of this thing, 9.9 yards per carry/reception, because he also had three receptions for 58 yards on top of his 17 carries for 126 and a score. Nick Chubb was on one today, to say the least, and the Packers defense could do absolutely nothing to slow him down. Now, thankfully, the pass rush was there, 5 sacks, 4 interceptions of Baker Mayfield mm-hmm. as well from the secondary, and I don't think the secondary realistically played all that well today, though, Gary. There were moments throughout this game where there was some miscommunication, and the Browns took advantage of it even late in this thing.
No, there really was, and I think when you go back and watch the film, you know, in combination with what you saw in secondary, they got a little lucky. I mean, they got away with some penalties, with some holding penalties. They got away with an offside. We talk about the rush that Nick Chubb put on against the offensive line, just killed us. So there's a lot of work to be done yet with this offense. They need to get back to where they were earlier in the year.
The offense or the defense?
The defense.
The defense. Yes. I agree. And I think today, this game, the Packers missed Jair Alexander and also Kevin King getting COVID, being put on the COVID list as well before the game into the protocols. That was a significant development as well, because people still are hating on Kevin King, but he has been playing. When he's been playing, he's been playing very well this season. And Eric Stokes, a very tough ask for Eric Stokes today, guarding Jarvis Landry for a decent portions of this ball game.
Stokes should have had an interception and dropped it.
He should have had two. Mm-hmm. He had one in the end zone and nearly picked off Hooper on that one play mm-hmm. as well. But he as well had just a couple rookie mistakes today and did not have as good of a performance as he has in the last couple of weeks. Now, thankfully, Rasul Douglas still doing his thing, 2 picks. And Savage finally comes down with one as well mm-hmm. all season long. I mean, since the Vikings game where he could have seemingly had 4, it feels like this moment has been culminating, and finally he comes down with one today. So thankful for the gifts that Baker Mayfield was giving the mm-hmm. Green Bay Packers throughout the course of this ball game, because without him, I don't know if the Packers win 24-22 today and get that Christmas Day victory over the Browns. Dan Plucker, Gary Ellerson with you on the Green Gold Postgame Show. We'll hit a quick break. When we come back, We'll hear from Devontae Adams, the wide receiver, two touchdowns, 114 yards and 10 receptions today. A fantastic performance from him, and we'll hear his thoughts on breaking a couple records himself and probably on the win and Aaron Rodgers breaking a record too. That comes up next here on the Big Show Radio Network.
The Green Bay game is over. What player stood out from today's game? Who made the biggest impact? It's time to name the Van Horn Automotive MVP of the game. Van Horn Automotive Group, with locations throughout Wisconsin and in Iowa. Family born and employee owned. On the web at vanhornauto.com. You're listening to the Green and Gold Postgame Show, presented by Lakeland University on the Big Show Radio Network.
Merry Christmas to you, Dan Plucker. Gary Ellerson hanging out with you on the Green Gold Postgame Show presented by Lakeland University. We're live from the Lakeland University studios as well, with online learning in seven locations throughout the state. Learn on your terms, lakeland.edu. The MVP of the game, it has to go to this guy, I think, Gary.
They've converted on seven of their last nine third downs, and this one's picked! Intercepted! As Douglas has got his second of the game.
Rasul Douglas, two picks on the game in two very important times. One to get the interception for the score at the end of the first half, and then the one we just listened to seal the deal. His fifth pick of the season for the Green Bay Packers, all of them being extremely important and coming in huge moments. Douglas just continues to be that guy. Maybe not the most well-rounded player on this team in terms of the secondary, but he continues to get interceptions and make big plays, Gary, and he's been such an incredible addition.
No,
to
it really
team.
Does. It really does. Brian Gutekunst, I think, get a lot of credit for that. And, you know, we saw him in Arizona when he first jumped onto the scene and get that pick that to seal to win the game for the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, the guy's been good. Listen, this last play, say what you want, he held him. They let him get away with it, and he gets a pick. And that, once again, wins the game for the Green Bay Packers. So, yeah, he's played well. Just can't wait for this team to get healthy. You know, if you can get back a Kevin King, if you can get back Jair with Kevin King, along with Rasul, you know, with Stokes, I think you've got a really good secondary.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you, Gary. We move from talking about the MVP of this game to maybe the MVP of the league in Aaron Rodgers, who was at the microphone. I know he said we were going to hear from Devontae, but Aaron Rodgers wrapped up. We're going to hear from Aaron Rodgers instead. He breaks a record, has the most touchdown passes in Packers history. Let's hear from AR-12 up in Green Bay.
A route on, just kind of adjusted the route slightly. From in breakers to out breakers, and felt like Allen was going to win based on the leverage pre-snap. He caught it and, you know, made a dive to the end zone. I wasn't quite sure if he was in or not. It was one of those, and they called it touchdown because they weren't 100% sure. And then they were looking at it, but the celebration had started. Lucas picked me up and I got to celebrate with the guys. It was really special. You know, then the tribute afterwards, man, that was really cool. To see, you know, from the first touchdown to Greg on down the line, some of the memorable ones over the years, and then to get a message from Favre definitely, you know, got me a little teary-eyed on the bench. So moment I'll never forget for sure. And I'm thankful that, you know, for Favre's message, for the response from the guys and the crowd, obviously was really special.
Ryan Wood.
Did Lucas crack your back a little bit with that hoist in the air after, and just what kind of went through your mind after throwing the touchdown, coming over to the sideline, the MVP chance, as you said, the Brett Favre message? Were you able to see the Favre message? Just kind of, I'm curious about the aftermath.
Yeah, I was sitting on the bench, and then after 4:43 went up on the scoreboard, you know, in the video played, I was, you know, standing up and just taking off my helmet and enjoyed that video, took a seat on the bench, saw Favre's message, and yeah, man, the emotions just kind of hit me, and the gratitude for such a long career and to be a part of history like that for this franchise is, you know, just something that I'm really proud of and extremely grateful for the opportunity to play here for so long and to have my path crossed by so many incredible, influential people along the way, from coaches and players and teammates to front office individuals and weight room folks and training room folks and everybody on the third floor that I've gotten to know over the years. This is a special place, and to be a part of history like this is not lost on me at all. And there was part of me was glad we got it over with. And now, you know, hopefully we get Devontae a touchdown so we can get his record. But in that moment, I was 100% present and really grateful for all my years here and the response from the fans.
That's Hadkowitz.
Hey, Aaron, kind of going off of what you just said there with Devontae, you know, as much as that friendship and relationship with Jordy, what that meant to you, what's that been like to kind of grow that with him and to get those two touchdowns tonight to move it to 67?
Yeah, I mean, he's such a fantastic player. I've played with some great ones over the years. You know, obviously Brett Favre, you know, incredible player, all-time great. Charles Woodson the same, you know, and the way that he could dominate on the field from a defensive back position was incredible. Jordy Nelson, you know, him and I always had such a great connection. But when you start stacking up the numbers for Devontae, it's mind-blowing. You know, I really feel like he's the best player that I played with. And I said that to him the other night, actually. I was just thinking about him and having a lot of gratitude for our friendship and the fact that I get to play with him for so many years now. And I just felt like I wanted to tell him that because it's true. You know, Tom just read me a stat about him with, you know, NFL history, 10 catches, 100 plus yards, 2 plus touchdowns in the game. 8 times he's done that. You know, he's a special player, and nobody I've seen has that ability to continue to reinvent himself even inside of a game and set routes up the way he does. He's a fantastic player. Gives you so many, you know, so many great plays during the game. You know, and the first touchdown to break the record, as much as mine was a simple double stick adjustment, his was really a freelance route. And I think that's what made him so great, is his creativity within the system. And I looked over at him on the left, and I was almost going to give him a signal to make sure that we were on the same page. But something, intuition, whatever, just said, don't do it. Just trust it. And he didn't do what basically is on the paper football offense. He went up and made his guy, you know, lost his guy quickly, and they brought empty pressure. And he did exactly what I would have wanted to tell him, but there wasn't even a signal that could have even come close to the beauty and the creativity of that route. So it's one of those fun moments where I'm glad nothing happened. I didn't signal anything or give him any, anything that would have changed his mindset. And that's the type of player he is. He's just such a dynamic player, and he can also beat you with his mind. And I'm just, again, really thankful to be able to play with him for so many years.
Pete Doherty.
Hey, Aaron, what do you make of the way you guys have won so many games right down at the end? I think this is 5 now, where basically somebody's made a play in the last minute that won the game.
Yeah, you know, we got to do a better job of closing games out. I mean, that's on us, but our defense has closed out a lot of games. I mean, the last 2 weeks, you know, stopping that 2-point conversion and then Rasul coming up with a big pick. Man, it's nerve-wracking, but, you know, winning is difficult in this league. Offensively, we got to do a better job of just being consistent. You know, we've had some good 4-quarter games, but not consistently enough at certain times when we got to close teams out. So we got to get better at that and just kind of dial in exactly what we want to run those situations. You know, it's a disjointed second half. We went down 6-minute drive and only got a field goal. They came down with a lengthy drive and almost went to the fourth quarter. Then we go 3-and-out, 3-and-out, and obviously let them get back in the game. So that was obviously disappointing, but we got to close our games better. But our defense has done a really nice job of coming up with big plays. You know, 4 picks tonight was incredible. We sacked them 5 times. And although we gave up, you know, a lot of rushing yards, I felt like, you know, it was bend but don't break, and we came up with turnovers at timely situation.
Matt Schneidman.
Aaron, just to clarify before my actual question, Devontae's best offensive player, or is he overtaken Seawood best overall player?
Most dominant player I've played with.
Okay. And Devontae said we took our foot off the gas on offense, and I'm sure Matt will say the same. Is that just cliche, or you agree, and why do you think that happens in a game like this?
I mean, I feel like that is a cliche, but it's the truth. I think when Yash went out, we wanted to get a couple of runs to get Ben, who coming in the game off the bench, you know, comfortable. But during that possession, they brought pressure, played one high, I think, on all three of those snaps. So, you know, I think that would have been a good time to maybe take a shot to Devontae, because Devontae was, you know, in a zone tonight, and it was really difficult cover always. But, you know, it seemed like almost every single time we had single coverage on him, I hit him for a big play. So, I mean, that's all. And Matt, you know, Matt and I had a conversation. I'm sure he's on that as well. But hindsight is 20/20 often. And Matt's been calling a great season. You know, we got to find out exactly what we want to do in those situations, and then go do it and just trust, you know, put the ball in my hand, give me opportunity to deal the ball to Devontae or anybody else who's open, and go close out games in that situation.
Jim Polzin.
Aaron, you got me. I know the toe hurts as it is, but it seems like you can't catch a break. It's getting stepped on more often. Is it getting worse? And is there anything else? It looked almost like maybe your hip was hurting too, or was that just the toe in the first half?
No, definitely nothing with the hip. This was the best I felt in weeks. And, you know, I did walkthrough stuff this week, almost practiced on the Thursday, which was like Friday. Felt amazing. Didn't get injection before the game. You know, was feeling really good, and kind of got rolled up there at the end of the first quarter, but kind of got past that, then got stepped on directly on the toe. And that's when the pain was pretty intense. Took care of it at halftime and obviously felt better. But, you know, we're over 6 weeks past this now, so we're hoping that there wasn't a major setback tonight. It feels okay right now sitting here, but, you know, it was a good week and fun to be out there and to feel a lot better with my toe.
Rob Domofsky.
Hey, Aaron, Rasul was in here right before you, and he said, look, I'm not a superstar. We've got two superstars on this team, 12 and 17. But when you have a guy like him, you know, a guy like Allen, who obviously made a big play for you tonight, what does that mean for you guys?
Well, I think oftentimes the idea of being a role player is looked at as you're a secondary contributor. But we have guys who play important roles for us. I'm not saying – I don't think Rasul is a role player. He's a star. I mean, he's got incredible ball skills. He's around the football all the time, and he's changed our team. You know, he really has. Allen is a role player in the most positive, respectful possible way. I mean, he does all the dirty work for us, run the football, in the run game blocking, and then he's had some really good games in a row. He stacked, you know, three good games in a row. He's played consistent and made a lot of plays. And that's what we expect out of him. That's what he expects out of himself. So I'm really, really proud of him. There's a lot of unsung heroes as well that might not get all the recognition, obviously, or even any recognition. But, you know, I'm really proud of EQ, what he brings to our team. And, you know, he's going to get involved at some point in the passing game, but I'm really proud of him. A.J. Dillon's had a really nice season. You know, he's done a lot of great things for us, catching the football well, breaking tackles, running hard in four-minute mode. And then the line, you got to look at the line, no sacks tonight. Now, no Miles, you know, I give him a lot of credit. I mean, he was out there on one leg. It seemed like, you know, most guys probably be on the sidelines taking a week off, but not him. But we held him to no sacks. It took a couple shots, but no sacks, was incredible. So all those guys, Ben coming in, Yash, John, Lucas, Royce, and Big Dennis, man. It's been fun playing with those guys. They battle. You know, they battle. They love to battle. And I came in a huddle on that third and two at the end of the game, asked if they wanted to go on a hard count, and they all almost in unison said, yeah, hell yeah. So they were pretty juiced up, I think, as much as I was, that we drew them off sides and closed that game out. But love playing with those guys. This is a fun team, you know, really fun group of guys. It's, you know, we've made some really smart additions, some in the offseason, some midseason, and a lot of them have really paid off.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers nailing it on the head right there. Maybe that's part of the reason why it's been so easy for him and Gutekunst to maybe be getting along a little bit better during this season, because Gutekunst keeps bringing in some good guys and figuring out how to plug some pretty big holes for this Packers team all season long. I mean, we're talking about six Pro Bowlers from a season ago that have missed time and significant time this season. Unbelievable that the Packers are 12-3 at this point and sitting pretty atop the NFC right now. We'll hit a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the Green and Gold postgame show with Dan Plucker and Gary Ellerson. That comes up next here on the Big Show Radio Network. Welcome back to the Green and Gold Post Game Show presented by Lakeland University on the Big Show Radio Network. Dan Plucker, Gary Ellerson with you as the Packers win 24-22 over the Cleveland Browns, which marks four straight wins in the last 5 weeks for the Packers. A win over the Rams a couple weeks back, the Bears fiasco that happened, and then at Baltimore last week, and a Christmas Day win over the Cleveland Browns today. Four straight W's for this Packers team. And now it's crazy to say them at 12-3. We're 15 weeks into this season, only two more games in the regular season for this Packers team. And it starts next week against the Minnesota Vikings, the last team to beat this Packers squad. As we all remember that 34-31 win for the Vikings in Minnesota a couple of weeks back, the last loss for this Packers team, in fact, and it's looming large here for this Packers team. The only divisional opponent that they've lost to this season, and Matt LaFleur has had a stellar record against divisional opponents throughout his career. The Vikings, one of those teams that's kind of been able to hang around with them at least once per season, and maybe they shouldn't. The Packers are a better team than the Vikings are, and hopefully next week on Sunday Night Football, you will see that, and we'll be on these airwaves, Gary Ellerson and myself, right after that game as well. A huge game, Sunday Night Football matchup, divisional rivalry with the Vikings, and hopefully a lot of fun to see the Packers beat the Vikings if that does wind up being the result. If not, there's going to be a lot of questions, because that means the last 3 weeks it's been a one-point win over the Ravens, a two-point win over the Browns, and a potential loss or a close win to a Vikings team that they should handle. That's not what we want to see. And then to wrap up the year in Detroit. So comparatively, a rather soft ending to this regular season. Two divisional opponents. You never know what happens in the division. But two teams that the Packers should be able to handle, and maybe 15-3 record, or 14-3 record, I should say, heading into the playoffs. That would be an enjoyable thing, and would most definitely mean that the Green Bay Packers are the number one seed in the conference heading into the playoffs, and the playoffs run through Lambeau Field. That's what everybody wants to see. And we all saw what we wanted to see today on Christmas Day. The Packers win 24-22, a great way to wrap up your Christmas Day, I guess, because now, I don't know the next time it's going to happen. I don't know the next time the Packers will play on Christmas Day. And today we got to see a win. A loss would have stung, because then you're going to remember that until the next time that this may happen. So happy they won 24-22 over the Cleveland Browns today. Our thanks to Adam Roberts, other side of the glass, doing a great job. And for Gary Ellerson, I'm Dan Plucker. We'll talk to you next week on the Green Gold Post Game Show and all week long on the Big Show, starting not tomorrow, tomorrow's Sunday, starting Monday on the Big Show Radio Network. Merry Christmas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.